So if you will, join me in Luke 24. We're finishing out the book of Luke. 24 is the last chapter. Who's been reading along in Luke? Have you been reading one chapter a day-ish? Yeah? My kids and I have been talking about it. I don't know how many of them are actually reading it other than when we talk about it. I've been really stoked about going back and reading what we talked about in the beginning of the year. And now we're on chapter 8 today, and so I encourage you to do that. If you're like, oh gosh, we're reading that? I didn't know that. The power was out last week, so I didn't show up. Okay, so you're here. We're going to read Luke a chapter a day until, well, all the way through the 24th, so Christmas Eve. Please come to that. As John said, it's 5:30 and 7. I have to remember that. I've been telling you all 5 and 7, but the reality of the matter is I'll be here before that. He jokes, but I tend to get here pretty stinking early. And it's important that I do, because I could legitimately get busy and forget about it. Because I'm not just losing my hair. I feel like I'm losing my mind. Anybody? Good. God knows me and loves me and helps me. So look, we're going to hit this strong. We're going to hit this straight up. There's no other way for me to say this. Today we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus, which is the game changer of all game changers. Life was no longer held down by death, and he totally defeated it. So join me in Luke 24, 1 through 12. Jesus is life. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Okay. Who are they? Do you guys remember who they are? Say it again. These ladies. And we are going to find out all of their names in just a second. And it's very, 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 very important that you remember that Jesus literally died. They saw him. They saw his dead, lifeless body put in a tomb, and they saw this big, huge stone rolled over the entrance of the tomb. And we're not going to go to the other gospel accounts of this, but it's really, really cool. Go and do that if you have extra time. Friend, I don't know what you do with your time. Some of you work on a farm. Some of you have significant jobs. Some of you have a significant schedule to keep. Some of you have a significant binge-watching schedule that you've got to keep. I mean, gosh, Disney Plus, does it just never end? But I would ask you, I'd encourage you, take a minute, take 35 of them, and read. Read God's word. Listen to it. I don't read too good. All right, then go ahead and listen. But get into the word and get the word into you. Let it transform you. All right, so these ladies show up. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, maybe like the hat, but it actually says in another gospel that they were like lightning. Their clothing was way more white than you could bleach ever. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee?" Remember. This is powerful. "That the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And on the third day," what is it, church? He told them, right? "On the third day, I'm going to rise. It's going to get ugly, but it's going to be better." And they remembered his words. Oh, yeah. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Church, why did they go there in the first place? What did they show up that Sunday morning for? That was no longer the Sabbath. They had a job they wanted to do. What was it? Prepare the body. Prepare the body. Like, He was already buried, but it was on the Sabbath, and they had to honor that, and they wanted to. They loved Yahweh. They loved Jesus. And so they come, and they show up. They get there, and there's a little something different going on. And they have to be reminded that Jesus said it was going to be like this. And that old song always comes to my mind. Mama said there'd be days like this, right? Jesus said there'd be days like this. Jesus said this was going to go down. Hi, Chad. Welcome. Everybody, this is Chad. He's late. All right. Hi. Love you. But straight up, Jesus said this was going to go down, and they show up, and they're perplexed, and then the angels explain it to them, and then they go back, and they share the good news. Jesus is not in the grave. He's risen. Happy Easter. Now, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale. Oh, ladies. Cute. That's clever that you would think that up. That's why we don't have women in charge of things. They're just emotional. They see things that don't exist. Huh. And they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb just in case. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Maybe the ladies weren't off their rockers. We know in John 20 that Jesus has risen. He speaks to them, shows himself to them. What a huge gift that was. The first people that he showed himself to were the women. That is a huge honor. Don't get it twisted. They didn't earn it. But Jesus knew them and loved them and honored their faith. And they go and tell, and the disciples don't believe it. And so Peter not just says, you're out of your mind. He actually goes to figure it out on his own. And again, like in John 20, we know that they raced there. And I love this. This is such a dude thing. In John 20, John, the writer of it, says, the disciple whom Jesus loved got there first, but he didn't go in. I'm like, beat ya, right? I mean, it's a race, and yet Peter goes in. He's not there, and everybody trips. And then it says that they went and they marveled. Marveled at what had happened. If you're not familiar with what the word marveled means, I've used the word tripping already. But I want to give this word to you. It's on the front of your bulletin. You have it up on the screen. Remember. Remember is so critical. We just had communion. Remember who Jesus is. Remember what he did. You all are remembering during Christmas time, and you're remembering some things that are painful. You're remembering things that are fun. You're remembering Jesus. Hopefully, you're probably remembering that you don't have as much money as you'd like. There's a lot of things you're remembering right now. But remember Jesus. Remember what he says. Remember what he's done. Remember what he's doing in you, and remember that he's faithful. We're going to get after this in a big way, but before we do, there's a few things that I looked up on remember. Here's one. The biggest lie I tell myself on a regular basis is, I don't need to write that down. I'll remember. Or Dale Carnegie. Remember, today's the tomorrow you were worried about yesterday. And since I lost almost all of you on that, let me slow it down. Today is the tomorrow you were worried about yesterday. Jesus said it in a different way. He's like, each day has enough trouble of its own. Yesterday's over. Today hasn't, or yesterday, or tomorrow hasn't come yet. Today's the day you've got. Remember that. What else do you need to remember? Do you need to remember to turn off the coffee maker? Do you remember to lock the doors? Do you need to remember to feed the dog? What is it that you need to remember? What do you find yourself either writing down, or I don't need to write it down, and then you're like, what did I forget? I'm forgetting something. Kevin! Right? Well, today, I want to ask you to take a trip down Remember Lane with me. Let's remember why Jesus came to earth. Luke 1:30-35, we started the year out with this. Some people are like, that was kind of a little bummer planning because that you started that the week after we celebrated Christmas. Come on, bro. No, that was intentional. We can remember Jesus all year round. I will say this, for all the friends of mine who absolutely love Christmas season and they start listening to music and thinking about decorations, maybe if we're just being honest, before Halloween, you get past the first and they're like, clean it up, let's go. We gotta move on. It's the new year. some of my friends are like, no, I leave up a nativity scene all year round because I remember. I love to remember. We have bracelets, some of us, to remember things. Some of us, little sticky notes. We have alarms. My friend's phone was ringing. He said, hey, could you answer that for me? I did. It wasn't a phone ringing at all. It was an alarm. He had 15 different alarms on there. And none of them were for take medication. I'm like, what? What is this? He goes, oh, I just got to remember something. I'm like, cool. So let's remember why Jesus came. And we'll do that today. We'll do that really as often as possible. Luke 1:30-35. The angel said to Mary, don't be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, Savior. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. No offense to your favorite song, but Mary, did you know? Word, she found out before he was even conceived. Mary says to the angel, how will this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called the Son of God. Before we read Luke 2, which is so good for so many of us, why did Jesus come? Anybody? Do you remember? To save us. He came to set people free. Luke 2. I'd love to read all of it, but I'm going to go 10 through 14. Just a remember why he came. And the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And then finally, I'm remember why he came. We'll fast forward to something we read just a few weeks ago. Luke 19:10. There was this little dude named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was a mess. And yet he really wanted to see Jesus, so much so that he went past all protocol and all real dignity. And he ran ahead of this parade that had Jesus in it, and he climbed up in a tree so he could see Jesus. And Jesus saw him, because Jesus knows where you're at, every one of us. And he came to him, and he said, Zacchaeus, get on down. I'm coming to your house. I'm going to eat with you. Yes, Lord. And Jesus is there having dinner with Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus goes, Lord, look, right now, I give half of my treasure to the poor. And if I have done anything wrong, if I've defrauded anybody, I give them four times what I took from them. And Jesus goes, salvation has come to this house. And that was very, very, very scandalous. And this is why he came. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Friends, over and over again, Luke 6, when I was reading it on the 6th, he's like, I'm the Son of Man. I'm the Son of Man. You guys remember in Luke 4? The Son of Man can forgive sins. The Son of Man can make people well. Over and over again. He gets asked, are you the Son of Man? He answers it one time on his trial. It is what you say. I am. You heard me over and over again. Dear friend, we've got to remember. If you don't remember why he came, you'll start to doubt if he's even here. And if you're a Christ follower, you've recognized him, and you have to remember, we have to remember over and over again, he lives inside of us. Look, I don't have any plans on dying soon. I don't have any plans on going anywhere. I mean, I'm going to go home eventually, but I mean, I don't have any plans of going anywhere. And for some of you, that's like really reassuring. For others of you, you're like, could there possibly be another guy? Yeah, there'll always be somebody else. But here's what I'm saying. I don't have any plans on going anywhere, but I could choke and drop dead any time. Remember, Jesus is Savior. God is God. Aaron isn't. You're not. Your circumstances aren't. Remember why he came. So one more time. Church, why did Jesus come? Save us, to show us love, to lead us, right, to bring his kingdom from heaven to earth. So in this, I want to remember what he said. I could have gone tons of places with this one, but I just want to snapshot some of it. Let's go back to Luke 4. He's hanging out in church, their church, synagogue. He's this up-and-coming rabbi as far as everybody's concerned, and he steps up and they hand him a scroll, which was a Bible, right, at that time. And he just so happens to read out of Isaiah. And we'll pick it up in Luke 4 and we'll go 18 through 21. Yep. I just can't wait for a second to recognize that what looks like coincidence to us is most likely quite the plan from God. So, verse 17, which I don't have on the screen for you. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. And the eyes of all the people in the synagogue were fixed on him. You might know that their mouths were wide open too. They're like, they're waiting. He sat down. That would not have happened. Culturally, he would have been standing and teaching. But then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That was even more scandalous. Hey, God's gift is here, bro. I mean, for so many of us, we trip on that. Guys are trying to say that to their women all the time. "I'm God's gift, don't you know?" But he was saying, straight up, let's go with the takeaway for the whole entire morning. Remember, Remember who he is, what he came for. Remember what he said. I came to set captives free. Was that just then? I just came to set captives free. Then, I mean, if you got a little bit of encouragement from that, good for you. But I came once and that's it. No, friends, he's the same today as he was yesterday, and he'll be the same forever. Always. Remember this. Remember that he told his people what was going to happen, and they didn't catch it. And many of us have to be told over and over again. Gosh, when I was 27, I was able to purchase my first home. And it had this fireplace. And it was a fake fireplace. And we had a fake Christmas tree. And Genesis, who at that time was like 12 or 13, said, "Next thing you're going to tell me, Santa's fake." But, and I'm not touching all that, I'm just saying that's what she said. I was looking at the fireplace, and we hadn't used it yet. And so I turned it on, and I told my son, Zach, who was very, very young at that point, 5 years old, just 5 years old. I said to him and Michaela, who is 3, "Do not touch this. This is very, very hot." Ah, right, just animated as, you know, maybe you've understood that I could be. And I'm doing that and showing them, and they're like, "Okay." And I just remember it was like this little Kodak moment. They're on their knees just looking at the fireplace. And then they both put their hands right on it. You know what they never did again? They remember. You can remember, friends, the hard way, or you can take God at his word. And we're going to do both. And he will keep remembering or reminding us. And he reminded his people. And remember, this whole thing comes off of the angel saying, "Remember what he said? You ought not to be perplexed. You're actually looking for the living among the dead. Quit trying to find the answer where no answer can be found. Look to Jesus, dear friends. Look to him. Trust him." So let's remember, we'll go down memory lane really quick. Luke 9, 22. "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests, scribes, and be killed, and on the third day, raised." Remember, he told them this. Luke 9, 44. "Let these words sink into your ears," Jesus says. "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men." Then again, not too long ago, we read, but Jesus had reminded his people on a third occasion in Luke 18, 31 through 33, this nugget. "And taking the 12, he said to them," see, we're going up to Jerusalem, "and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." Jesus does what he says. He said he was going to die. And what else did he say was going to happen? He would rise. Do you remember why he came? Save us. How was he going to do that? Die and rise. Remember this. You having a bad day? You having a bad week? You having a bad life? Remember who Jesus is. Here's the one that I just start to get excited about, and I'm trying not to yell because that can sound like I'm yelling at people. Remember this. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in his people. Lives in his people. We'll go to Romans 8. I know that I had promised, no, I didn't promise. I said I was going to try to memorize it. I haven't memorized it. I've memorized portions of it. Who knows? 2020 with new vision. See what I did there with the 2020? All right, but I will see what I can do about that. Romans 8:11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Gosh, it just repeats it a couple of times. The power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of his people. You can do anything that he wants you to do, including be content with the nothing you feel like you have. Or be very, very generous with the much that you have. Or be content with the place that you're in. I don't have a man. I don't have a woman. I don't have kids that get in line. I mean, whatever it might be. The power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible for you in Jesus Christ. Now, one more thing to remember before we remember that Jesus is life. Remember that God didn't even spare his own son. Gosh, I could go on for a long time on this one. I want to read one of my favorite passages, and we're already there, so go to Romans 8, 31 through 39. So we're remembering why Jesus came. We're remembering what he said. We just looked at a couple of them, but we remember the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of his people. And remember that God didn't even spare his own son. Why? Because that he was the only one who can save us. Romans 8, 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God's for us, church, amen. Gosh, I could bring a list of people I feel like could be against me, but they're nothing compared to Jesus. I love you. I mean, if you're against me, I love you, but you're nothing compared to Jesus. My dear friend Amy reminded me this morning that I've got to stop being against me. I'm nothing compared to Jesus. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? You're not getting your blessing. You're not getting what you want. Wait, God's got something better for you. He's going to sow something in you that allows you to remember over and over again. You could say, look, I remember the time when I was waiting on God and I had to just keep following him and I developed this skill or I developed this trait of patience. I developed this character, and I'm more like Jesus because of it, and he didn't give me all the things that I asked for. But he didn't spare his own son, so there's nothing he's going to hold back that you don't need, or that you need. He might take a bunch of things away from you that you don't need, and for us, we're like, no, I need that. Do you? Apparently, if you go without, that's just tough to even take. Okay. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who's to condemn? Christ Jesus. By the way, he's the only one who can condemn you. And we heard in the beginning of Romans 8 that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So the one who could condemn you doesn't even want to. Won't. If you're in him, that means he's God, you're not. Remember that. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us, praying for us, stepping in, Daddy, these are mine. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, somebody has to hear this today, or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we're being killed all the day long, we're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all these things, remember this, church, pain, agony. Listen, it's going to give you a list of the things that feel like they separate us, and none of it does. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So remember, church, Jesus is life. John 14:6, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And then finally, Jesus shows up at a funeral. He'd been asked to come and take care of his friend, Lazarus, who was sick. And he said, I know he's going to bless you. I know he's going to end, this sickness is going to end in death. And he said that it would actually be a good thing. Sounds sadistic. But trust him. Remember him. Remember what he said. So again, he shows up and he's 4 days after Lazarus died. We're going to go to John 11, 21 through 27. I want you to remember that Jesus is life. Martha said to Jesus when he showed up, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. It's got a little sting to it, right? But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Help me, Jesus. Help us. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Thanks for encouraging me. We have people in here that have lost loved ones, lost money, lost homes. There's a lot of loss. And well-meaning Christians will come alongside you and give you doctrine and give you encouragement. They'll preach the word to you and they'll remind you, hey, God is good. He's always good. He doesn't ever get defeated by anything. So just hang in there. And we'll be like, I know. And it doesn't seem to actually assure us or comfort us. And I think we know it, but remembering it means it's going to do something different in us. And she goes, I know. He's going to rise up on the last day. All those who are in you are going to rise up on the last day, which is actually good. It's good theology. It's good to remember. Jesus says, I got one better for you. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into the world. And finally, remember that Jesus is life. The thief, Jesus says in John 10:10, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Remember this. Remember who he is and why he came. Remember what he said. Friends, I invite you often to read along in the Bible with me. I invite you often to get involved in community groups. I invite you often to serve. All of this is by way of helping us to remember. Remember why he came. Remember what he said. Remember that the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. He's speaking to you. Yes, it might be radical and crazy, and he might call you to do something so out of your comfort zone. But it might be a little more simple than that. He might actually be calling you just to believe and to follow. And let him take care of all of the details of that. Well, how do I know what he's saying? He's already said it. Go with what he's already told you and watch the rest unfold. Look, I constantly share my faith, but I'm afraid to do it often. I'm afraid of the consequences. I'm afraid of people thinking I'm stupid. I'm afraid of being stupid, like not having answers. I'm afraid of somebody saying, "You're a pastor? Huh." I'm tired of being afraid. We don't have to be. In Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. I'm already His. I'm playing with house money. We win. Remember that. And live like it. And if you need to be reminded, get into a group of people who will remind you. Sunday mornings are good, but they're sure not enough. I'll say it to you again, as I've said it before, I'm quoting Tony Evans. Going to church and only getting fed on that moment is like going to a gas station, filling up, and then idling until you run out of gas again. Fill up, and then go give it. And you're going to run out of gas. And so fill up again, but not just on Sunday. Fill up on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. I think you probably see a theme, right? All week. And then you are starting to be the one that actually helps fill up others. You don't need church alone. But God has called us to corporately get together to remember. And we should. And we should do that all the time. Well, gosh, if Aaron was just here, if Josh was just here, if Zach was just here, if Michelle was just here, then she would have said something so much better than what I said. God didn't have anybody else in that situation. He had you. And he wasn't like, "Oh, man. Blew that one. Should have had Chad there, but he was late." I miss you, Chad. Hi. Look, you guys, I am so stinking blessed to be able to do what I do. For some of you, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. I am a pastor. That's my job. I get asked every single month, "What do you do for a living?" For real? But people just don't know. I get to walk and talk and go to the hospital with people, and I get to study and pray. And like my son, "What do you do, Dad?" I explain it to him. He goes, "So you just talk to people?" "Yeah, kind of." That's God's call in my life. That's my vocation. But it's all of our call. Go and give it away. You get to remember the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would remind us and that we would be encouraged, we'd be empowered. We wouldn't put it off. We wouldn't have to measure 85 times and maybe cut once. We would know that you've called us. We would believe that you've called us. We'd remember why you came. Remember that you did what you said you would do. You said a bunch of really great things to us. God, you cannot be defeated. We cannot be separated from your love as we're in you. And you are life. So help us to be encouraged now and always in that way. And we would live for you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.